Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast brought to you by Red Army Bet, a betting site with a difference. Not only are we offering the best available odds on a United win, we've also got exclusive special bets created by Reds. And as we share half our net profits with the United supporters community, no matter what, the fans can always end up winning. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app, Red Army Bet. About fans, by fans, for fans.
Welcome to the Latest United We Stand podcast. With me is Sam Bowers is here, which is entertaining. John Ashton's here, Bloom is here, Stu Edwards here. The world's angriest man will be joining us in a minute after he's finished dropping money all over the place and generally fuming about life in general. Happens to you all when you get mad at that. Anshaw will be with us in a second. We've just watched we've just watched Manchester City win the league title, which is pretty miserable. Obviously after the highs of last week where we took great delight in stopping City from picking it up in front of us and then being able to go out and enjoy ourselves in town, we've literally just made all of that hard work, or the most of it, go to waste by a piss poor performance, seeing us end up getting beat by West Brom, probably the worst team in the league, by a goal to nil, and not really too many complaints about that either. So apologies for what might follow, because obviously last week it was full of the joys and lots of happiness and lots of generally happy people. That's definitely going to change. It'll certainly change in a minute when one person joins in. But yeah, Manchester City are the champions. There's part of me that's sort of glad that it's over and done with now, and then we can get on with probably losing second place to Liverpool in a couple of games with the spate of away games that we've got coming up. But we'll see what the lads have to say about that. I'm going to go to you, John, first. That was pretty dismal, wasn't it?
Well, just like Sam said this morning, you'll win it when we say. You're not winning it on your own terms. It was grim today, wasn't it? Kind of a sort of after the Lord's Mayor show. And I just think it's typical United over the last few years. We don't ever seem to build on any sort of momentum we get going. The only thing you can say is that, you know, you get it out of your system ahead of what obviously next Saturday's a far, far bigger game than what today was. But yeah, terrible performance, I thought.
It's the run-up. Forget what's happened following that dismal performance today, and forget the second half against City. I go back to, I think it was the Brighton game, obviously in the quarter-final, and then the Swansea game where, again, first half decent, second half was dreadful. For me, the three or four games leading up to any semi-final, you want consistency, and that means playing pretty much probably your same 9 or 10 players every week, and that's not happened. And today, I just couldn't work out. I don't have to blame the players on Mourinho. I think everyone's in the same position, because the team it's just imbalanced. They're chucking Smalling up front. We've got three strikers up front. There's no width. So to me, that's more worrying. Again, who knows what's going to happen against Bournemouth on Wednesday, but the build up to a semi-final, which could potentially save our season, is more worrying.
That goes far. So it was the worst performance of the season, that, but I just don't think they looked arsed at all. Let people out of position again. I honestly can't think of anyone who played well at all. The only one who was fairly decent, he took off at half time, Herrera. He was actually doing the only one running around and trying to get the ball and battle for it, but other than that, it's been shite.
Sam? It's been the same story all season. They don't inspire you as fans. You're never up off your seat. You don't get excited. Even when we do win games 3 or 4-0, they just seem to be routine games, and I mean they're a thing of the past now as well. Since Christmas, we've been shite. There's no other way to put it. We've been shite. We've had some good results. Beat Chelsea, didn't really play well. Beat Liverpool, didn't really play well. Had a good 20-minute spell against City, but other than that, the performances have just been shite. Not good enough.
You all right now, mate?
Yeah.
There's been some fuming going on behind.
Yeah. Just wondering how adults can't put money in a bag without throwing it everywhere.
Yeah. How's married life?
Yeah, really good.
Still together?
Yeah, just about. Rocky. No, it's good.
This is the first defeat of your married life. Are you going to go home and take it out on her?
No, years ago, you know, I didn't go home and take it out on her, but I used to be in a bad mood all weekend, but no, not like that with football.
You didn't watch the game in the ground. You had the pleasure of, you had the worst view because you had it on 8 tellies. We only had to look at it once.
Yeah, we had a new 15-year-old teller today, so I let him go in the ground on my ticket. So can't say I'm too bothered.
How bad though in terms of the high of last week? Obviously that was, I've said it in this mag actually, that it's such a good thing to build on in terms of confidence and the high of last week. Not just beating them but coming back and doing it the way we did it, and then obviously that, it's just frittered it all away, that, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't want to go all knee-jerk because, you know, we've known even after last week's result, we still know that United have got a lot of work to do. And the thing that I'm concerned about is that we still don't seem to know where to play all our attackers. Every time I turn up to the ground, they're all in a different place. Sanchez, I just don't think United know how to use him at the moment. And, you know, because I didn't watch Arsenal much, I don't really know how he should be used. But, the way he's playing, he's not playing very well for United at the moment. And obviously we're not getting the right balance. I do hope next week... You know, I didn't really understand, like, after last week, that why we brought Mata in. And I know Mata has a lot of fans among, in United support, and, you know, he came on at Crystal Palace and he was brilliant, but I just don't think he slows everything down, especially at home, and I don't really think he's got much use in our forward line at the moment.
The Sanchez thing, though, he created all three goals last week, didn't he? Yeah. But the difference was we had runners from midfield, and today we didn't again. We've gone back.
The difference last week was we were 2-0 down though and chasing the game. Yeah. And that's the difference. We don't seem to take those risks that you would do. I've always been saying for ages that I prefer to watch United when we're behind than I do when we're level or ahead.
You're not going to get Mata or Herrera bursting into the box, are you?
I was worried when I saw the team selection today. He's gone with the three in central midfield at home to West Brom. You knew we were going to sit back. Is there really a need to start with Herrera and Matic? And then when you look at the players out wide, you can't get away with Mata and Sanchez for me either. There's no pace in the team.
Or height.
Yeah, it's just it was all very, very easy to defend against, I thought. And I don't think we started particularly badly, but they just look like they run out of ideas.
So we're blaming Mourinho, aren't we?
You've always got the book always has to stay with the manager because he's the one who picked the team, and like I said, it's always a different team every week, and I think
the thing that frustrates me with him, he's got his favourites and he's not afraid to take like Mata and people like that off, but he won't do it with Lukaku, he won't do it with Matic.
He took Pogba off.
I think he's got it in for him. Yeah, he's got it in for him.
Like I just said, I'm a big Mata fan, but how Mata played 90 minutes today, because I thought he was absolutely disastrous from start to finish. But and Pogba as well deserved to be hauled off, because everyone keeps saying, play him right up the pitch, play him further up, you'll get the best out of him with the midfields. Well, he had his chance to do that today and he didn't take it. He was ponderous in the ball, pissing about a bit like he was doing. His decision making was dreadful again.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think Herrera was probably out of the three the best. He took him off at half time. No idea why. Lindelof and Smalling didn't have a great deal to do, but it just seems like we set pieces. We're shit at attacking them and we're shit at defending them, and it's cost us again today. You know, City scored one last week.
I think this is in the first half didn't we? Yeah. Got away with two. We could have gone up easily 1-2-0 up at half time. We just don't learn. I don't know. We don't. No, my mate asked me, do you reckon they train set pieces? And the only thing we can certainly say is that they don't zone or mark. That's obvious, because that stands out when teams zone or mark, you can tell. But considering we've got 6 or 7, I think I said it coming down in my car today, 6 or 7 people, 6'2", 6'4", again, the amount of chances West Brom had today, you know, they've not won a game since Christmas.
Yeah, and I mean, overall, like, our eyes are mostly on next season now. We've got a big game next Saturday, but you can't help thinking what we're going to look like next season. And if I had one grumble, like it'd be what we said after Sevilla. I think we change our team. We seem to change our approach and our team every single game we play, like, and have a real pragmatic approach. And I just want to see some consistency now in selection. And I'm a bit fed up of like turning up every week and
it's a different everybody's half, isn't it,
yeah,
every week,
yeah,
and different midfield every week. So
I think I
mentioned the spine of a team, I think, a few games ago, but that changes every single game.
Mourinho fed up because I think that's Mourinho's always his way has always been stop the opposition first, and he sets up to make sure the opposition can't play, and then hoping that your better players then do the business. But you get it for some games, but it's West Brom at home, you know, and you just think
that
just play your best players, yeah.
That second half against City showing what United can do, though. Yeah. You know, going forward, and you know they really. I mean, Vincent Kompany, he looks absolutely shit, didn't he, last week in the second half?
Yeah, he does.
That's the type of thing that, you know, United need to just let the forwards off the leash a little bit, I think, now.
Just on that though, like, I'm not disagreeing with any of that, and it's all spot on and stuff. But forgetting whether they've played together or not, or whether they, you know, would not, that team should have been able to beat fucking West Brom, who haven't won in the league since fucking December. Obviously, they got the cup result at Liverpool, but apart from that, they've been absolutely comfortably the worst team in the league this year. And yet, that team should have been able to deal with that
comfortably.
Yeah, absolutely. It just frustrates me.
Week, West Brom at home.
Was it now?
Leicester or something?
Leicester, was it?
Yeah. No, I don't think it was. No, I think it was someone even worse than that. And, you know, that was at home. And the most comfortable I've seen United this year was probably the first half at the Hawthorns. And it's like, I can't understand why we can't break a team down like that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you've got a long haul game in midweek. I don't know whether United have got any plans to actually stay down that part of the country or come back. Staying down would make absolute sense, but you just don't know what goes through. I don't know how it works these days, but I did think when I saw
Mr. Lowry, mightn't he, for two nights?
He might go home. He might go home for a couple of nights. I did think though that when I saw the side, I thought, all right, yeah, you know, probably a completely different side. Whoever didn't play today might get a bit of a stretch, and then he's got a whole squad of who's probably in the best sort of fitness, who's in the best form, who's probably in the best sort of psychological state to play. But that, you know, no one on that pitch today, because this is the thing now, I know we're going to get round to this whole piece around, you know, it's the manager's fault because the buck stops, and I get that, but some of them fucking players have got to start taking responsibility for some absolutely disgustingly bad performances.
Yeah, and there's been many now, but I'm of the other thought, me. I don't think these players are bad. I think it can only be the manager not getting him playing.
So are you in the get rid of him?
No, I'm not in the get rid of him, no.
Just sort it out.
I think my view on him is that next season, I think it is the deciding.
It's make or break for him.
Yeah.
I suppose they're behind the scenes, they all like him, they all get on well with him and that, so I don't know why. Yeah. apart from Luke Shaw, but like, no, the majority of the team get on well with him.
Just getting my finger over the pause button, because Luke Shaw's been mentioned and John Aston's in the building.
I just think that next year is the make or break for him, and I want to see him give it a good go now with United, and not just, you know, this pragmatic approach every week. I mean, one of the most disappointed I've ever been leaving the ground was against Sevilla, and you know, that there was just absolutely no excuse, was it? And it wasn't befitting of a Man United manager in any way whatsoever.
No. Even if you look at it winds me up. The statistics aren't bad, are they? You know, in terms of games won. You can't really argue that he's improved us results wise. All right, today was obviously a disaster, but you know, we took points off the top six this year that people said we were struggling to do at one point. The manner for me is the performances, and there's so many unmemorable. Even when we do win, the games are unmemorable. So for me, next year, the results wise, we've got to carry on that. But it's the level of the performances.
Yeah, that's what's going to be his undoing.
That's 100%. And we've said on here many a time that Mourinho's pragmatic approach is it's a means to an end, and you have to have trophies at the end of it. If you get to the end of the season, you've played like that and you win nothing, what was the point of all that?
And it's already now after last week. Last week was the season's high, probably, wasn't it? And now we've got this semi-final coming up. It's almost like United are in the sort of same zone as last year, where everything just turned to shit ahead of the Europa League final. It's almost like the FA Cup's maybe got that feel about it.
Yeah, definitely. They switched off in the league last season, and we put all our eggs in the Europa League basket. Fortunately, we won it, but you know, if we come out of this season without winning a trophy, you know, we're gonna be left with egg on our face, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's still a big ass. So I mean, you're talking, you're gonna have two 50-50 games to be able to win that, and then they genuinely would be 50-50 games. So I mean, what's that as an odds? What's 4-1 to for us to win the cup? It's
Tottenham and probably Chelsea.
I don't think we're as bad as Chelsea at the moment, but you know, I'm really worried about next Saturday. I am. Definitely.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, though, because Tottenham played last night like they already had one eye on that game, didn't they? And they didn't even remotely get anywhere near the level that, you know, we know Tottenham can get to, but you just know that they're going to do that next week, don't you?
But what you've just said is right. They should be playing a week before, 6 days before, even forgetting the Bournemouth game. Players should be playing for the position to start next Saturday. And that didn't seem to be the case today. So is it the case that players were scared of getting injured? I don't know. Or were they just poor? I can't work it out.
They were looking towards that game. To me, the way they were approaching it, there was no urgency about it. Yeah, exactly. There's no urgency about them. So it does seem to me that they are thinking about next week, but it's still the worst result of the season for me, that. Really.
And it by injured or just not played, not risked?
It was his testimonial by the fucking pace of the first half. No, but it'll be interesting to see. Has the whole league got a game on Wednesday? Or just us?
We're supposed to play Bournemouth Saturday, weren't we? So
we've got a week off then?
No, yeah. They play Tuesday. Away to Brighton. Well.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Tuesday away to Brighton. And then
I do wonder what team he's going to play there, because do we care about second? Or
No.
No?
No, I don't. I
wish he'd play a couple of young lads on Wednesday.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think the whole piece around, I've said this argument a number of times, second, third and fourth is just irrelevant now. It might mean something in prize money terms, which probably does matter inside, but in terms of, you know, second is just top of not being good enough.
Are we one in front of Liverpool with a game in hand, is that right?
Yeah.
Today for me should have been pretty much the starting 11 for next Saturday. I mean, you'd have changed up maybe with four or five players on Wednesday, but now, so Rashford and Martial have come on and fucking hardly done anything for 20 minutes or whatever it was. So are they going to play Wednesday, or is he going to keep them on the bench for next Saturday? Is one of them going to start?
I still insist that United have to play one of those two in every game.
Mata probably won't play next week, will he? Lingard, I think he fancies him at Wembley, he'll start probably. So I'm studying now thinking you can probably only pick 8 out of the 11 starting 11.
He's not going to drop Sanchez, is he?
Big question for next week is right is almost at the top of the side, which is, does he go with De Gea or does he go with Romero?
Well, why has Romero played every FA Cup game?
I think so.
Oh shit, I didn't realise.
He's injured at the minute. Yeah.
Well, that might take that little quandary.
News,
how did he get fucking injured? He's not done anything for three seasons.
Did it on international duty, didn't he? Yeah.
That might save our fucking bacon.
Rojo took him out.
he actually said after that, Mourinho, when he got injured, said, he's going to be out of the semi-final. So I actually thought he was going to play him in that game.
I still think that's terribly harsh that De Gea has to play in the competitions we've got no chance of winning, even though he pulls out the shit on every occasion, and Romero gets to play in all the crap ones that we can win.
Yeah. He rarely does out wrong, though, to be fair, Romero, does he?
He was crap at Bristol City.
Neither did Roy Carroll when he came in every now and
then. Watch De Gea throw one into his fucking net next week now after all of that. Obviously, just this piece around, I mean, City have deserved to win a league, haven't we? But it's just, I was kind of hoping that we've kind of given them a Sunday night out. So it's a little bit of a drink for them. I mean, I was thinking, imagine if United get beat at Bournemouth and they've got a fucking Wednesday night on a school night to do nothing after 10 p.m. That would have been all right. We've almost gifted them today. I'm a bit gutted by that.
Yeah, definitely. They've definitely been the best team all season, and I don't quite think I don't think they'll get as many points as they did this year next season. So United have to start looking at closing that gap. No, I do. I think United have got to aim for 90 points next year, and if they do, it won't be like this year where 90 points won't win you the league.
That's only our second defeat at home, isn't it, in the league? Got beat by City, obviously, back in September, October, whenever it was. I mean, today. So you think, fucking hell, have we managed to lose against West Brom? They've not won since Christmas. They're on 17 points.
I'm fucking furious about it, mate. Really, I just really pissed off.
It shouldn't surprise us, really, because I think everyone probably, you know, half thought it after last week, including some of our very own fans. I'm sure. I think we all had similar comments, like we do whenever we seem to lose, selling the mag afterwards. I had three. One was just simply tell Lukaku to fuck off, like I'm his PA or something. Another one was, can you start a petition to get Mourinho out? So I said, I'll see what I can do. And the other one was, what was the other one? I fucking can't remember, but I didn't reply. It's like, why do people feel the need to shout at sellers after the game?
It's our fault, and you got a bit of grief, I heard.
Well, yeah, most of my own mates. So
you're told to stick it up his ass by one of his own mates. The other one was more like United We Surrender, not United We Stand. That's what he said.
I've actually decided today was your fault today, Ant, because I've worked out that today was the third time this season you've asked me to sell on North Stand Bridge after the game, and the three games with City, Sevilla, and today.
So if ever you fancy betting on United to get beat, just find out where I'm selling.
There's a jinx. He's my nephew. It was his fifth game today at Old Trafford. His first one was when Giggs was manager and we lost 1-0 to Sunderland. His second one, we lost to Manchester Derby 3-0. The third one, we drew 0-0 to somebody. And then the last one was today.
Never seen us score once
in five games. I bet he'll be supporting City by this time.
He needs to foot right off, he does, yeah. Tell you. Yeah. So basically what we've managed to conclude here is nothing to do with the team or Mourinho. Basically what we need to do is stop him selling at North Stanbridge and your nephew needs to fuck off, basically. Yeah. There you see. That's the kind of insight you look for on this podcast. Yeah, I think we've sorted out
formations.
Yeah, none of this Sunday supplement bullshit.
When he turned up today, I thought, it's fucking West Brom. Christ. We've lost 1-0. Fucking hell.
The thing is that the writing was on the wall early doors, because it was almost like, it's not like we were any good for like, at any point, is it? You know, if anything, I think it was De Gea who made the one and only decent save in that first half. It just never at any point looked like United were going to get into even.
Johnny Evans injured as well, the best player.
Yeah. Did we have one attempt on goal, Lukaku?
That header thing, wasn't it, in the second half as well?
He had one in the first half, didn't he? When he was through, and his touch was as good as it.
Not making Ben Foster try to save stuff.
God, I can't stand that.
No, I'm still annoyed with him over that fucking Tevez thing in the derby.
He's my worst United goalie ever. Ben Foster.
The clock was 78 minutes, and I think Sanchez, Rashford and Lukaku could have all touched each other. They were that close together. And any other team, you wouldn't see that. It's like we said at the beginning of this podcast, no one knows where to play. There's no natural width. Martial, I'm not quite sure where he came on to play. But seriously, Lukaku, Sanchez and Rashford were all within about 12 yards of each other.
There was a lot of that trying to walk it through and like neat little passing through fucking clustered blocks of defenders, like a bit like what Arsenal used to do.
No width, just get it wide. And is it time for obviously Valencia and Young? We know we need two fullbacks. Is it? We need two new fullbacks. End of.
Yeah, I think we need a ball from midfield as well. I don't think any of our midfielders can pass it forward. Just wide.
And that in itself, though, if you bear in mind the 20 odd million spent on Herrera, the 80 odd million spent on Pogba, the 30 odd million spent on Matic, and we can't find a fucking midfielder who can pass it. It's a fucking joke.
Yeah. Tomine.
Yeah, where is he, by the way?
He's on the bench.
He's gone now.
He's on the bench. Yeah. Flavour of the month's fucking gone now.
Anybody so nailed on to play for Preston in 2 years?
That's a bit harsh.
You're having a Harry Kane moment here, aren't you? Yeah. What was it, Chesterfield in 2 years?
Yeah, yeah. 2013, I think, said I'd... Harry Kane will be at Chesterfield in 2 years. Yeah.
I think I had something like pushing trolleys at Tesco.
Yeah, you said, will it be the Asda or Tesco?
we got that one spot on, didn't we? Yeah. Fucking hell.
I think we need to do a summer podcast 2 weeks into the World Cup. That'll be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because the big
let me
summer
know how it goes.
Big summer. Blin's gone, hasn't he? Carrick's gone. Slatan's gone. Two fullbacks potentially.
This is going to be one of these where you just watch like players that you've never heard of, and they do one good thing, and then you just clamour to buy them.
Side. Yeah.
Possibly.
Who's the last one? Rod. What was he called? Fucking
Rod.
Rod. Him at Bayern. James O'Regan. Rod.
I thought he was going to start going on about that cunt who fell off the roof with Emu.
Yeah, Rod.
We'd end up with fucking J. Rodriguez, wouldn't we?
I still think as celebrity death go, Rod Hulls was still the best. I don't think there's been a better one since. Anyway, so what were you saying about Rod? The last good player to have a one game.
He was the last good one. Everyone fucking clamoured to get him.
The point was about this summer and a big clear out. With those going, we need to buy five or six players. But any other team, like City, are probably looking to add two players to their team. So you're asking five or six players to come in next year. two or three
transition,
two or three which would you'd expect to be regulars every single week, and then you're asking them to all gel together to finish above City again. It's a big ask.
Yeah, it'd be another season of transition because of what you just said, the amount of City. The thing is that every time United spend £300 million, they always end up looking like they need to spend £300 million, and it's just a cycle that they can't get out of. You know what I mean?
The problem you've got is, though, is for every one signing is a success, there's probably one or two that aren't. And it's no good. You know, if you need to replace virtually an entire squad, it's going to take you an eternity to get you to a point where you've got that sort of... You know, Guardiola's bought 17... I know they spent similar amounts of money. They spent money better than we have, but still, it's the turnover of players rather than the money. You know, he's brought in 17 or 18 players, but Mourinho's only had a chance to bring in 8 or 9. Mm. And I think that's the problem. We haven't perhaps got that ability to be able to get a player in, though, and if they don't succeed, get them out straight away.
The thing is, though, what's starting, if you look at, obviously, Mkhitaryan was this, and that turned out a disaster. Lindelof's clearly fucking shite. The Pogba situation looks like it's not going to pan out particularly well. His strike rate of who he brings in isn't as strong as perhaps it should be, is it?
No, we're just scattergun, aren't we? Just pick everybody who's available, and, you know, I think we should start. You know, like, how long have we needed a right winger for now?
About 12 years.
Yeah, and we still...
He wanted one last summer.
We bought somebody who played in a place where we had two players competing already. I don't really get that signing.
But he wanted him as a target, and he didn't get him. The club didn't go out and get him. So, who's...
Well, he got back this summer. How old's Perisic? 29?
30 now, isn't he?
Is he 30?
That's a fucking child prodigy for Mourinho.
That's another one. Like you just said there, I don't think there looks like there's a long-term plan, though, do they? To be able to... A strategy of and a philosophy of how you want to go forward. But
The problem is, if you're a manager who functions on short-termism, which has been, for the bulk of his management career, 2, 3, 4 seasons here and there, you're probably not going to have that long-term longevity.
That was what's great about Ferguson, wasn't it? To be able to get rid of the likes of Van Nistelrooy, to allow Ronaldo to flourish and that kind of thing, and just accept that you've got to be mediocre for a couple of years. I don't think Mourinho can do that. No, I think he struggles to be able to have a step back and say, it's in our time, but long-term, it'll pay off. And I think that's one of his biggest downsides.
On top of that as well, you need 5 or 6 squad players who are happy to be squad players, don't you? I think Herrera is happy to be a squad player.
Every time they play, all our fans call them shit. Well,
I think City have handled their transition really well, haven't they? What, the last win the league 2014 or something, and they've had a couple, a couple of years where they've just sort of been, you know, top four or whatever. But they've brought in the manager that they wanted, then they've brought in all the players gradually that they wanted to get under him, and they've done that.
They're close to replacing Aguero, Silva and Torre now, aren't they?
But in that time they've had loads of trips to Barcelona, to be fair.
three of probably the best players of the Premier League.
Yeah, and we never handled our gigs, goals, you know, all that.
Fernand, they all went at the same time, didn't they? They all just went, and so then
it's going to take time because of that. They've all gone. City have planned it better. Simple as that.
Smalling and fucking Jones. Yeah.
The thing is, though, I as you well know, I've panned Smalling a few times, but 6 or 7 games now, he's not actually done too much wrong.
Well, it's very easy to call the player that's only centre half ever fit. Yeah. To play every game, and he in an ideal world really should be our fourth choice centre half, shouldn't he? Yeah. But he's our best because none of all of the other centre halves that we've got are cripples, you know. So it's a bit of
makes it a problem. He will get fucking sent off next week though, won't he, in the semi final for slide tackling somebody in the fucking tunnel at half time. and he'll do something fucking catastrophic. Just a quick one on next week before we do that, but can we try and drag a United man of the match out of this today?
I'd probably say actually Smalling. I think that Rondon didn't have a sniff all game.
Struggling with that one. Sanchez was the one who always looked to make things happen, even though it didn't really come off him. But I can't think of a single player who thought played reasonably well. I don't know. I don't know Sanchez, but
no one.
Same.
Okay, now I have to be honest, I'm struggling.
Well, I'm going
to
go with one of the disused subs. the only one in the squad who didn't do anything wrong. So whoever was on the bench and didn't play, I don't know who that was. McTominay, we'll give him McTominay again.
Well, got well.
Did he? Oh, that'll do. Yeah, he looked good in a warm up. Yeah. Fucking that cunt Hernandez used to go offside in the warm-up, right? He's warmed up well, so we'll give it to Scott McTominay. Right, what do United do? I mean, first and foremost, do you go with half a side and not risk anybody who's remotely going to be important to us?
I'd like him to. I'd like him to play like Gomez, someone like that. But we all know right now that he's not going to do that. It's going to be at least
full strength.
Nine strength players. Yeah,
yeah. Probably play Zlatan, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
this won't happen. But I want him to play the same 11 he's going to play on Saturday. Fuck it. I want consistency. 99, fucking the same team played every week. It's a load of bollocks.
Yeah, well, you will get consistent. We'll get beat 1-0 against Bournemouth and against Tottenham, probably.
He's going to change it again. He'll switch it around again. So,
what's the point of playing a load of half-assed players on? You know, you might play ones who are from the edge of the squad that worth having a go. It's no point playing players who aren't bothered about playing.
Show some exercise.
Yeah, I'd go with I'd start Rashford. He needs to play both games. He needs some minutes under his belt. I know he keeps rolling out this line. Don't think he's played most appearances. What, for fucking 20 minutes at the end of each game or whatever?
Bollocks,
yeah. And if Bailey's fit, get him back in there. Fucking Lindelof's just a bit of a fucking nightmare.
He's no good, is it? So obviously we've had a kick in the balls today, and it's ended up not just in terms of getting beat in a game that, in the scheme of where United are at, probably doesn't matter, but it has given City the title. So after the high of last week, United have now got to pick themselves up. So do you think the semi-final will be that day, or are you not overly optimistic?
I've got a lot of doom when I think about it. Yeah, the reason is, I mean, in the league game we really, really struggled against them, didn't we? The running and the,
yeah, we got outclassed,
yeah, like. And I just don't see how we can turn that round.
Mourinho made an absolute bollocks of his tactics at Tottenham away, yeah, though, didn't he, as well? I mean, the sort of formation he set up today is the way you want to play at Tottenham.
Yeah.
And the way we should have played it, the way we played at Tottenham was how you'd want to play today.
Yeah.
But
we got picked apart in 12 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. The first 12 seconds did it. But the midfield just worries me. They're just strong. Eriksen's obviously Eriksen. Mm-hmm. But I think, unless Pogba fucking turns on a worldie and Herrera starts kicking people and Matic doesn't lose the ball, I think we're going to really struggle in midfield. Matt could be the down.
Before today, I was fairly confident about it, but it sucks it all out of me again today. So I'm a bit worried now.
Our record in big games recently has been pretty good, hasn't it? I honestly think it's 50-50. You could toss a coin, see who goes through. Tottenham have always got Tottenham have got form for bottling, haven't they, at this time of the year? So
big game,
two halves. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, the other bad news, by the way, which I should, is this. You know the pub that we always go to on the Monkey Bus for any Wembley trips.
The one in.
Yeah, all right. Well,
we're not going there.
Well,
is it one with the bouncy castle?
yeah. There's no, I was going. Well, there's no point. Well, there's no point in giving it a secret because it's gone bust. So so we're setting off at 8 in the morning with nowhere to go. So so we may we'll have to try and find somewhere. Prediction for. Do me the both games. So Bournemouth first and then Tottenham.
Bournemouth 1-1. Tottenham will win in extra time.
I could deal with extra time.
Win both 2-1.
Draw Bournemouth 2-1 against Spurs. Just
to United.
2-1 nil wins.
2-1. I think we'll win 5-2 at Bournemouth.
This is why we don't invite
money. And then I think we'll turn Tottenham over. I reckon 3-1. 3-1.
Right.
So you think we're going to score 8 goals in a week?
does anyone think it goes for extra time?
Fucking 2 months.
Tell you what, that was a fucking great advert for home brew. That one, wasn't it?
Extra time is obviously a possibility. Penalties would lose, probably.
We're getting on late enough as it is. Yeah. I love how the fact that you've just absolutely blitzed United, slagged it off, and then every single one of us has just predicted that we'll win it. I definitely think that's definitely more hope than expectation. We're going to wrap it up now. I do feel a bit safer now because for the duration of this podcast, there's been a man sat in a car staring at us, and he's got a half Celtic, half United shirt on.
Stitched it together.
Yeah, it's like vertically together. So it's like half a kit vertically and. That's just odd, isn't it? Yeah. You saw him before, didn't you?
I wonder what nationality he is.
Yeah, he's well, put it one way,
Scottish.
If this had been a night game, I'd have just sacked this podcast off. I'd have just got in the car and driven off at speed. If you are that person and you are listening to us, can you go somewhere else next time? You creepy bastard. Right, that's it. We will be back. I've got a dilemma here, by the way, at Bournemouth, because I've got a collection. which means if I don't pick it up, I'll get banned. And it's seriously fucking tempting to just not go and get banned. So, anyway, we'll be back at Bournemouth. He's meant to go in the semi, do you know? Big game, and he's about to be there. Yeah,
so. And the weather's going to be nice, isn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah, the weather's nice, and it's a big game. Andy Meehan.
Andy Cole.
Yeah.
Andy
will probably be back for the semi-final. But if he's not, I'll do that one as well. But, lads, thanks for today. Thanks for attempting to pull something together. That it was, you know, you did great. As I said, next podcast Bournemouth, and then we'll be back at the weekend where hopefully United can clinch an FA Cup final space, where then hopefully be able to heap more misery on Mark Hughes. Until then, thanks for listening and cheers.
Thanks for listening to the latest United We Stand podcast, brought to you by Red Army Bet. We offer the best available odds on a United win, as well as a host of special bets created by Red. With half our net profits being donated to United supporters groups, Red Army Bet is about fans, by fans, for fans. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app. Red Army Bet, we all follow United.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.